everybody. We are here for our arguments this morning, and our first case is Rebecca Woodring against Jackson County, Indiana, 21881. And we begin with Mr. Do you pronounce it Mihet? Mihet?
Mihet.
Mihet. All right. Mr. Mihet, the floor is yours.
May it please the court, Horatio Mihet on behalf of Jackson County, and I would reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal this morning. This court should reverse the district court's grant of final summary judgment because the plaintiff lacks standing and because the display is constitutional. It is clear from the record in this case that the plaintiff lacks standing under Valley Forge and its progeny because she is merely an offended observer who has only a generalized grievance and a psychological injury.
Mihet, can I make you pause on that point? I certainly understood that to be your argument from your brief, but then looking at other materials in the case, I was left with the impression that there were perhaps factual issues about this that you didn't see the same way as Ms. Woodring. In your view, you know, she just drove in front of the courthouse, and I certainly take the point that at some point offended observer, under Valley Forge, isn't enough. But when you start talking about the need to go to the prosecutor's office in the building just behind the historic courthouse and other kinds of legitimate business, it seems different. So I had a disputed issue of fact on standing feel about this.
I don't think that it's a material dispute, that Your Honor, because the record is clear and undisputed that none of those future exposure items that Ms. Woodring speculates about had actually happened prior to her filing of this complaint. In fact, the record is very clear that this display had been a constant feature of this community for nearly two decades, and yet the record discloses only one actual exposure by the plaintiff to this display.
When you look at the fact, Mr. Mihet, that she says in her affidavit that she drove by the front of the courthouse numerous times. I understand she only specifically identifies seeing the display during her 2018 trip, but can we draw the inference in her favor, as we're required to do at summary judgment, that when she drove by the courthouse those other times, that she necessarily saw the display?
No, I don't think so, because she actually admits at her deposition that the first time and the only time that she saw the display was when she purposefully went there to actually inspect it for this lawsuit. She leaves no doubt about that. She says that in 2016 and 2017, she never noticed it. And in 2018, she says on page 86 of her deposition that she was by the courthouse or in Brownstown no fewer than 15 times. And yet, she only saw this display after she read about the controversy in the news and after she decided to purposefully go and check it out. In fact,
Mr. Mihet, I mean, I know there's the 15 times, but when you look more carefully at the record, it seems that some of the times she was describing were in August when the display wasn't up. The display doesn't go up until around the middle or thing. I mean, that's why we have this stay motion in front of us at the moment, around the Thanksgiving time. So we can't draw any inference one way or the other from the fact that she doesn't see the display at a time when it's not up.
But actually, if you look on page 86 of her deposition, I asked her specifically between Thanksgiving and Christmas of 2018, how many times had she been at the courthouse? And within that specific period, when the nativity and the display would have certainly been up, she says she was there no fewer than 15 times. That's page 86 of her deposition. And
but that's at the courthouse, not driving by it?
That was in connection with the citizen function that she purports to have to exercise in Brownstown. And if the claim is that those citizen functions would expose her in the future to the display, what this court can do is look at the past prior to when she filed this complaint and see that there's no actual record of exposure. And the other thing I would point out
wait a minute. Before you rush on to that, I want to look for a second, for example, at Doe against City of Montgomery, Illinois. One of the things that we mentioned there was the need to come into direct and unwelcome contact, that was with a sign, while engaging in normal legal obligations such as jury duty. Now, I'm not a former district court judge such as Judge St. Eve and Judge Hamilton, but I'm here to tell you I am certain that jury duty doesn't happen once a week for normal citizens. They get called every so often, and yet we focused on that. And in her case, it seems that she alleges that every so often she needs to follow up on this child support order, and she's got business that takes her past the courthouse.
So there's a couple of things I would say to that, Judge Wood. That number one, she was very clear that she has no business in the past inside the courthouse and no anticipated business in the future inside the courthouse.
Inside the courthouse is utterly beside the point, however, right? Since this is what we're talking about is a standard that courts have applied throughout the country for direct unwelcome contact. That's very different from Valley Forge, of course, right? Well, you emphasize in your brief that she's only lived in the county for 2 years. I'm not sure why that's relevant, but she is a resident of the county. The courthouse is on US 50, and somebody who's going about their daily business in Jackson County is going to encounter it as she has and will in the future, right?
Judge Hamilton, respectfully, the Seventh Circuit and the Supreme Court have said that there's no such thing as drive-by standing, which is what we would have here.
No, the standard, sir, is direct and unwelcome contact. That, for example, is what gave standing to the plaintiffs in the American Legion case, correct?
Actually, standing was not addressed in the American Legion case.
It was addressed in the Fourth Circuit, however, and that was the standard. It drew on a very thoughtful opinion by Judge Wilkinson from a few years earlier, Schur against Haywood County, that explains this quite well. It might be helpful to me, Mr. Mehet, if you could tell us what evidence it should take to show standing in a case like this.
Well, I think at a minimum, Your Honor, applying this court's precedent in St. Charles, in Zilkey, in Harris, and in FFRF versus Obama, what it would take is a plaintiff who says, I am offended by this message, I have to have direct contact, and yet I have incurred special burdens or altered my conduct in a way resulting to damage.
So if I understand your position, then somebody who is offended by perceived endorsement and changes their conduct would have standing, but somebody who finds that too inconvenient and just gnashes their teeth does not. Is that right?
That is precisely what this court held in all of those precedents that I have.
Actually, I don't think that's quite right. If you look at the Zilkey opinion, for example, we took care to point out that there was no claim of the direct routine contact with the display in that case, for example, right?
That was one of the things that the court pointed out, but the court also pointed out that when it said, quote, the appellants have failed to meet the minimum requirements of Article 3, the appellants concede that they did not alter their behavior. That's what this court thought was relevant in Zielke. In Obama,
Mr. Mehet, excuse me for a minute, but I just want to underscore something Judge Hamilton just said. I know your position is that we don't take any guidance from the American Legion case on this standing point, although you embrace it, obviously, on the merits. But in addition to what the Fourth Circuit said, Justice Gorsuch, joined by Justice Thomas, has an opinion concurring in the judgment that is entirely about standing. So I find it just counterfactual to think that the Supreme Court didn't have standing in front of it. It's not like they put blinders and earplugs in and decided not to pay any attention to Justice Gorsuch. They were content that on these facts, the facts in the American Legion case, this kind of forced encounter with the Bladensburg Cross was enough to create standing on behalf of the American Humanist Association, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, I just think we want to stick carefully to what the record shows and not get too far in front of ourselves.
Well, for reasons that only the Supreme Court knows, they chose not to address standing in the controlling opinion in that case. And
the fact that they went ahead and addressed the merits sends us some signal, doesn't it?
Actually, no. The Supreme Court is very clear in the cases that we've cited in our brief that you cannot imply from a sub silentio treatment of the merits that the court actually expressed a position or opinion as to standing matters that were not addressed before the court.
But my point is that this isn't really the sub silentio, nobody spotted a standing issue. There's a lengthy and thoughtful opinion written by one justice joined by a second one that addresses this. And so I think contextually that makes American Legion a different kind of case. I'm just going to suggest, by the way, unless one of my colleagues has more questions on standing, that perhaps you might move on to the even if there's standing, whatever you want to say about the Establishment Clause part of your argument.
Okay. So if standing exists, then the court should still reverse because the display here is constitutional. In American Legion, the court did address the merits, and in so doing made clear that long-standing established monuments, displays, and practices are no longer to be subjected to the Lemon Test. Instead, they are to enjoy a strong presumption of constitutionality that can be overcome only by a showing of discriminatory intent or by a deliberate disrespect in the design.
If we accept your argument as to the application of American Legion, would we have to overrule some of our existing cases, including the American Jewish Congress case?
I think to the extent that this court had previously relied on Lemon or any derivative test thereof, I think that this court is now bound to follow the clear leading of the Supreme Court, as have three other circuit courts of appeals that have ruled on these issues since that decision. The First, the Third, and the 11th circuits have done so. Lemon is no longer applicable to longstanding established displays. Now here, this particular display has been around for 2 decades. The plaintiff claims that because the display is only up for 6 weeks per year, that makes it different from a permanent so-called monument or display. Here's why that doesn't work in this case, because the Supreme Court in American Legion, when it was cataloging the types of Establishment Clause cases, when it talked about the displays and the passive displays and the monuments, the first example it gave was Lynch versus Donnelly, which involved, as we know, a nativity scene. More importantly, we know that the quintessential example of a longstanding established practice is congressional prayer, legislative chaplains. And we also know from common sense and experience that the chaplain isn't praying 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. The chaplain only prays when the Congress comes into session, and there may be months when Congress is not in session when there are no prayers. So it's not...
If we apply American Legion and look at the presumption of constitutionality, the presumption applies when a display or monument has been longstanding. How do we determine what longstanding is? And is it just based on the particular display at issue or the concept of that display? That's a double question.
I think it's both. I think number one, longevity alone may supply the necessary longstanding feature that the Supreme Court looks for. I'll say this monument, this display has been around since 2003. One of the examples the Supreme Court...
Which, by the way, just to be picky, is not 20 years. It's not 2023 yet.
Right. We've said approximately 2 decades. So
let's call it 15 years.
A couple of years shy. But the important thing is when the Supreme Court provides a listing of about 4 or 5 examples of religious expressive monuments that it considered to be longstanding. One of the ones it referred to was the Pueblo religious leader, Pol Pot. And as one of the amici point out in their briefs, that was raised in 2005. So it's actually 2 years younger than the display at issue in this case. But beyond
Mehet,
that—
Could I ask you, Mr. Mehet, is it your view that under American Legion, the county is free to go back to a standalone nativity scene display during the holiday season?
Well, number one, the county has no interest in doing that. It's never had a standalone display. There's always been all of the other components that have been part of this display. They were further apart, but all on the west lawn of the courthouse. They were moved closer together after the complaint came in, but before the lawsuit.
If we agree with you, would you contend, if we agree with you theoretically, would a standalone nativity scene in the courthouse lawn be constitutional without Santa or carolers waiting in the wings?
Well, you're catching me cold because my client has no interest in doing that. In a future hypothetical case, I'd say you'd have to look at the four factors that the court has. You'd have to look at whether there's discriminatory intent and deliberate disrespect in this design. So there may be arguments that could be made in those veins that a standalone monument perhaps or display perhaps has some of the rebuttal features that the Supreme Court envisioned. Here, again, the county has never had a standalone display and has no interest. In fact, in 2019, the county issued an instructive letter to the Lions Club and the other community groups telling them that if there's going to be a display in the future, it must have at least the same number and type of secular elements around it, and it must do so in perpetuity. So there's no claim of that being an issue here.
Would the location of the display matter if the county wanted to move it back and move it into the courthouse as opposed to the front lawn? Would that matter under American Legion?
It was never in the courthouse.
Correct.
In this case, inside the courthouse, there's a Christmas tree and fall presents and Santa Claus. I think the location, again, you'd have to look at the four prongs and at the two avenues for rebuttal. And if you have one single solitary nativity scene with nothing else in the middle of the courthouse atrium, perhaps you could make a claim under the two rebuttal features that the presumption has been rebutted. There is room to rebut the presumption. We have no facts whatsoever in this case that could do that. And Judge St. Eve, I would say to finish answering your earlier question, you do also have to look at the longevity of the practice or the display, not only in a particular instance, but generally in our nation. And I think, again, one of the amici points out that nativity scenes are older than the Republic, traced back all the way to 1741 in the town of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And so there's no question that they have taken on a significance that allows communities to celebrate various—
And do we look at that for purposes of the presumption or for purposes of analyzing whether it violates the Establishment Clause or both?
Well, I think you can look at them for both. For purposes of the presumption, you look at it to determine that this is, in fact, a longstanding tradition and practice that didn't just come up overnight.
Because in American Legion, in looking at the presumption, they really seem to focus on the particular statute at issue as opposed to the historical context behind it. Again, just for purposes of the presumption.
Well, I think they certainly looked at the cross that was at issue in that case, but they did also take a look at, generally speaking in this country, how long have crosses been used as war memorials? And there's a lot of discussion about tradition even outside of the context of that particular case before the court.
So is it your contention then that nativity scenes have these multiple layers of meaning that are cultural as distinct from religious?
It is when they are put together in a display that incorporates all of the other aspects of the holidays. This court in the city of St. Charles opinion explained why the nativity scene is different from a cross in a Christmas context. And it explained that with a nativity scene, it celebrates one aspect of Christmas, and that even those who do not adhere or believe in the divinity of the child born in Bethlehem could find some comfort and solace in the mere story of that birth, taking away the religious elements from it. So that's this court in St. Charles, and the Supreme Court in Lynch, multiple courts have said that nativity scenes, when they are accompanied by other elements, as they are here, where we have Santa, the reindeer, the sleigh, we have all of these candy canes that are actually bigger than most of the figures, including the manger. All of these elements together show that the nativity scene is but one component that reminds us of the origins of the holidays, but do not constitute endorsement or establishment.
Okay, Mr. Mehad, we'll have to call it quits there because your time has expired, but thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Falk.
May it please the court. There are no contested facts as to standing here. The facts demonstrate that in the course of her everyday life as a member of this community, Ms. Woodring must confront the area where the nativity display is erected 5 weeks a year.
How carefully does she nail that down for those 5 weeks a year, whether it's her visits to the new judicial building or whether it's just the fact that it's US 50 that goes a major road in the town, I'm sure. How carefully does she nail down the times, and does that matter?
I think what matters is that she testified that in August of 2019, when her deposition was, that year she'd already gone by 35 times, and she anticipated continuing at that frequency.
And so so you want us to infer from that, favorably to her, of course, at this stage, that that would include times in the month of December and late November when this display is up.
That's correct. She testified she'd be going at the same frequency she anticipated that she had done in the past, and that's enough to put her squarely within Books and County of Montgomery of having to confront this as she goes about her everyday life, including fulfilling her legal obligations concerning support. So I don't think there's any question as to injury in fact.
And Mr. Falk, you also want us to infer from that by going by the display or by driving by the courthouse that she actually saw the display. Because the testimony that I've seen in the record, other than the one 2018 incident, doesn't say that she drove by and she saw the display.
She testified that she moved into the area in the 2016 or 2017. She had not seen the display. She heard about the display. She saw the display. Now she knows it is there. I think in the Books case, the plaintiff testified, and this court remarked, and it's the first Books opinion, that he could have gone a different direction, but it didn't make any difference to him because he knew it was there. She knows it's there, and she's going to go by that area. It's quite visible later in the afternoon at dark, as our pictures show when it is lit up. She knows it is there. She is forced to confront it. That gives her
So what about your response? The county attached various Google Maps showing that she really doesn't have to go by the display and raises the concern, you know, we're essentially going to manufacture standing for everybody who goes out of her way to be offended.
Well, I think if you're looking at manufactured standing, the manufactured standing would be if I call my client up and say, look, here's their objection. She says, you mean if I just go one block this way, one block that way, one block this way, that's okay for me to be injured? I said, I guess. That would be just as manufactured as this. In the course of her everyday life, going to the prosecutor's office, couponing, going shopping, going places for her business, going on day trips, she passes by this area. That's what she does. That's the whole purpose of this form of standing. It recognizes that there's injury by being forced to confront something like this that violates the establishment clause.
Can I ask you about a distinction that strikes me as lurking in the background here? There are certainly cases where the person who knows about the practice, take Valley Forge, the person who knows about the practice is simply not engaged enough in it to support Article 3 injury in fact. And then there are other cases at the other extreme, such as the Elmbrook Schools case, for example, where the person is kind of a forced participant in a religious experience of some kind. I want to use a broad word. So from that point of view, how important is it that she has alleged that she's being drawn into this because she has regular needs of a regular citizen to go to the judicial building, that it's in fact very difficult given the layout of this town not to go by the west lawn of the old historic courthouse? You know, in other words, can you make the case that she is a drawn in participant and not just somebody standing off in the sidelines?
Well, certainly. That's why I think the test is whether someone in the regular course of their lives in the community must confront the minor. In August, in 8 months of 2019, she had gone by that area 35 times. So let's assume she's going by 50 or 60 times a year. She has to do that as a citizen of the community. She might be able to take a more circuitous route, that's true. That would give her standing as well. But as a member of that community, she is drawn in to the site where this is 5 weeks a year. And that's the injury, in fact, that this court has repeatedly recognized.
The district court relied on the fact that some of these trips were civic trips to the county prosecutor to collect child support. How important is the civic purpose of her trips to the standing analysis?
I don't think it's essential, because if that was the case, then no one could challenge something in a park. You don't have to go as a matter of civic responsibility. In County of Montgomery, this court, in distinguishing Zelke, where that was a Ten Commandments monument in a park, the court noted that plaintiffs failed to alter their behavior or, and I'm quoting, demonstrate that they were exposed to the monument during their normal routines or in the course of the usual driving or walking. Again, as Judge Wood noted, the issue is, are you drawn into being forced to confront this in the course of your everyday life? She hasn't flown in from the West Coast, take a look and get back on a plane and gone away. She sees it, she sees the area, she knows it's there, she's forced to confront it. That gives her standing. But of course, she has the added factor of she has to see it when she goes to pursue her child support obligations in the building behind her.
So to be honest, Mr. Falk, what worries me more about your side of this case is how, in a principled way, we can distinguish this particular nativity scene with the secular elements that it has from the Bladensburg cross, both from an analytical point of view in the American Legion case and from the point of view of the presumption of constitutionality that the court finds for at least the Bladensburg cross. And I guess there are a lot of questions I have about that, but one of them is whether, if we got to the presumption of constitutionality, what evidence, if any, is there in this record that the county was intending to discriminate against either people from a different religious tradition or people who have no religious tradition at all?
As I understand the presumption of constitutionality as set out in the American Legion, the two areas, two places where the court talks about it, I don't think we'd be able to rebut the presumption on this record. But I don't think we get there, Your Honor, because I don't think this is a situation like the longstanding monument in American Legion, both because this is not longstanding, but also because if you look at the four factors that the court stressed, if something is so old, we can't determine purpose, not a problem here. New purposes might have occurred over time, not a problem here. And most importantly, the court said the message conveyed by that cross had differed over time and was no longer religious. And the reason for that, the court said, was from the very end of World War I or shortly thereafter, the cross had come to symbolize not just Christianity, but the enormous sacrifice made by American service persons. And in fact,
Mr. Falk, with all due respect to Justice Alito, is it really the case that a cross isn't religious? I mean, maybe it has a mixed message, but the cross strikes me as at least as religious as a nativity scene.
Well, the problem, the difference, Your Honor, is that in that case, and we have to look at what the Supreme Court said, the court said that that cross had very quickly achieved secular components, secular parts. And
They did.
No one can say that about a creche, Your Honor. A creche, as this court noted in American Jewish Congress, is an unequivocal Christian symbol. Yes, it's possible to stick a creche in with other things and minimize the endorsement value. But in American Legion, there wasn't an endorsement question. The court concluded that that cross was no longer symbolic of Christianity in many respects, not just the particular cross, but generically. The court talked about how crosses had become logos for American Red Cross and trademark. No one has made the creche a trademark. A creche is a clear religious symbol. It always has been, it always will be.
Well, that very well may be true, but I guess when you mention endorsement, it makes me want to ask you, what, in your view, given, you know, the addition function that we're able to perform, is left of the endorsement test? There's a lot of negative commentary in the American Legion case about Lemon. So yes. are you relying on Lemon for your argument, or do you think you can make it even if we say that Lemon is not supported by a majority of the Supreme Court?
Well, the court does not mention endorsement at all in American Legion. And I think what the district court has done, I know there's another district court case, the CFI case, which said basically, if American Legion doesn't apply, we're gonna go talk about endorsement. And that's exactly what the district court did. The first hurdle that we have, of course, is explaining why American Legion does not apply. And as I said, it doesn't apply because we're not talking about a longstanding monument which has somehow now currently conveying a message different than purely religious.
So you are definitely, in response to some of the things Judge St. Eve was just talking about, you are clearly hanging your hat on the fact that this creche is only a little more than 15 years old, even though creches have been around the United States since before there was the United States, and indeed around the world for more than 1,000 years, probably.
Yes, yes, and arguably this creche is only 2 years old if you multiply 5 weeks times 17 years. If the county decided to put a new creche down on the courthouse lawn, a permanent creche or a different creche, the court would, it would seem, not apply American Legion, because the court, the majority or the plurality, and then Justice Breyer in a separate concurrence, both note that different results would occur if this was new, relatively new. What does that mean? What does longstanding mean? Well, Justice Gorsuch said, that's a good question. The plurality does not explain that. But this is a temporary display, and that makes a difference too, Your Honor. It's the court focused in American Legion on the fact that this structure, this large structure, had become part of the community, and to remove it would require destroying, ripping it down, which would excite antipathy, obviously, from a number of people. Here we're talking about a number of metal framed objects that currently, I assume, are in storage, owned by the Ministerial Association, can be easily taken out of storage and placed on one of the many churches in Brownstown or on non-public property near the courthouse.
Ms. Frog, excuse me, could I ask you whether you might be willing to read American Legion as, in essence, at its core, an application of the more familiar endorsement test? When we run through those four factors, what we're really running through is the details of the history and context of the particular display or monument or practice, considered from both insider and outsider perspectives. I know that there's a somewhat different analytical framework, but it seems to me that that's pretty much what's going on in Justice Alito's opinion there. Room to disagree with, for reasonable people to disagree about that reading of the way people have remembered the Great War. They cite the Fussell book, for example, but it kind of has a feel for the endorsement test and the Van Orden versus and McCreary dichotomy between old and new Ten Commandment displays.
Well, I think that's right. I think there's a synthesis of both history and what the objective observer will see now. But again, I think the starting point has to be a recognition here that we're talking about a very different scene. We're talking about something that a reasonable observer by itself. I mean, the court has said in Allegheny, you put a creche down at a place of public importance, it's endorsement because of its inherent.
Let me ask you the painful question here that's raised by the last minute motion for a stay for this year. And that is, what do you think the county could do to this display to render it constitutional under Lynch, Village of Mundelein, and all under the broader umbrella of American Legion? Do we need to start counting elements, bringing out measuring tapes? What you've said there's a spectrum. How far do they have to move on that spectrum to pass muster, in your view?
Well, obviously, for purposes of the stay, we have not filed a written response to the stay yet. The county could just not put up the display this year, just put it across the street or put it on a church lawn. If you're saying what has to be done in order for display, including creche, to be constitutional, and whereas, not surprisingly, the ACLU does not have a handbook on that. certainly, there's sufficient case law that demonstrates that you have to have something that when someone looks at it will not focus on the religiosity of the display.
Can I just add in here? I mean, maybe it's not just a question of counting candy canes and Santa Clauses. You know, maybe there are a lot of towns, for example, and there have been cases where, although there's a creche, you know, there's a menorah and there are other religious symbols, so that the observer will say, well, this is a country of diverse religions, and so no one could think that any one religion was being endorsed. It simply acknowledges that this is an aspect of American life. Has anybody ever asked this town to put up any other kind of religious symbol, or is it pretty homogenous?
It is pretty homogenous. The record doesn't reflect that, and I don't want to go any further than that. Than just what the record reflects.
Public information indicates there are no synagogues, no mosques in Jackson County.
That's correct. And it does seem that the county views this display as its own, even though it is owned by the Ministerial Association. And certainly that's one approach. And that was, of course, why the menorah next to the Christmas tree, next to the sign outside of the building in County of Allegheny was found constitutional, because a Christmas tree, although a symbol of Christmas, is not deemed to be religious, although I'm sure it has some religious overtone.
So, Mr. Falk, is it your position here that as long as the creche is in the display, that it violates the Establishment Clause?
No, Your Honor. I cannot argue that, given Lynch and given the numerous other cases that have recognized that, because of what we now call endorsement, that is constitutional. But an effort has to be made to completely integrate the display. In the American Jewish Congress case, which predated endorsement, but really is an endorsement case, you had a creche display in the city building in Chicago, and nearby there were other things, you know, there are lots of other things, but it wasn't enough to integrate it into the display. And the same, of course, in County of Allegheny. There were other things in that building besides the creche on the steps of the building, interior of the building. Again, not enough. And I think a reasonable observer would look at the photographs that we have in our brief and see that the creche is really its own display. And even if, with the knowledge of history, which the reasonable observer has, of course, to know that when the county had the opportunity to move Santa and move the carolers, it made no attempt to integrate that display. It made no attempt to interrupt the visual picture that you had standing on Main Street going into the main entrance of the courthouse. So the creche remained the centerpiece of the display.
How should Lynch impact this court's analysis after American Legion?
Well, I think, again, if we're talking about a creche, we're talking a different ballgame than a cross. And certainly in this situation, we're talking about something that's not a longstanding display. So I don't think that a creche should be viewed the same way. But in this case, we know we're not talking about a longstanding display.
And I so think Lynch- your position, I take it, that the Santa and the carolers are just so minor here that we should analyze this as though it were exclusively a creche.
I think that's what a reasonable observer would perceive. Again, exclusive, no, because they see it, but I think the word the court used in the Concord case was the centerpiece. The centerpiece of this display is the creche. It remains by itself on the right-hand side of the man through the sidewalk. As the court knows, it's resting visually with the traditional creche figures and the trumpeting angels next to it. It is a display. And I think that survives American Legion because American Legion does not directly apply, and that clearly sends a clear message of endorsement. And as I said, I understand under the appellate rules, I do have a few more days to file a written response to the stay request, and I intend to do so with the court's permission. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Mr. Mehet, your time ran out, but we had asked you questions, so I'll give you a minute to wrap up.
Thank you, Your Honor. I would say that the county has already made an effort to integrate the display by bringing everything together before this lawsuit was filed. If you look at the pictures, you know, there's not a way to get them even closer together. You know, Santa Claus is already oblivious to social distancing. He's right next to all of the other elements. And the only way to get him closer would be to put him actually in the manger. No case has actually held that. I think that Mr. Fox's concession that they cannot rebut the presumption under American Legion should end this inquiry. I think the Supreme Court specifically referred to Lynch as an example of the type of displays that could be entitled to this kind of a presumption. And I think that is evident here. I think this court would create a circuit split if it decided that American Legion does not apply here. And lastly, oh, so. I'll end with standing. I would say,
excuse me, but how would we create a circuit split? Has anybody else applied American Legion to this kind of passive religious display?
Yes, the 11th Circuit has applied the American Legion to the Bayview Cross in the Kondratiev case.
Oh, sure. Well, that's an awful lot like the Bladenburg, but not to these holiday displays where we already have a very extensive body of case law, right?
Not to a nativity scene, correct. That has not yet been applied. But each of the circuits that have applied this have made clear that the Lemon test no longer applies to passive displays. And I think that's the way that American Legion goes. Lastly, I would simply say this. The record here does not allow an inference that this particular plaintiff has ever seen this display other than the one time when she purposefully went to inspect it. I think that's the kind of manufacturer standing that this court has previously frowned upon. And I think that holding otherwise in this case would open the gates for other inspectors across the state and across the country to start roving around looking for constitutional violations to redress.
All right, I think we have your point. So thank you very much. Thank you to Mr. Falk. The court will take this case under advisement.